Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Bajer, with John Duman.
Well, hello, Tom. It's good to see you back.
Good. Hey, this is the April review. Look forward. You know, it's good to be introspective and it's good to look prospective.
Absolutely.
And we have on the line Pastor Jay. Pastor Jay, it's always a blessing to have you as part of Strong Tower Radio programs.
Well, it's a joy to be here and to be with both of you.
Well, thank you. Pastor Jay is sitting in with us for looking at the headline, the cover article of our monthly newsletter, the Ministry News. You can get that at strongtowerradio.org. You can download it, or if you're on our mailing list, you'll get it automatically by email. And John is the editor of that. And so we really appreciate the work that he does each and every month. Pastor Jay, would you lead us with a word of prayer, and we'll start talking about the cover article.
Yes. Gracious Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this time of year that focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. As we discuss this cover article on the resurrection, we pray that the blessing that's there in that article will be a blessing to all of our listeners and our comments and discussions as well. We always need the Holy Spirit, and we need your presence. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen. Well, John, you know, we're coming up on the resurrection seasons. The world calls it Easter. We like to call it resurrection because we want to focus on Jesus Christ and what he did for us.
Yes, we do.
And we have quite a file. We'll be talking about some of this. We have a library. They talk about of the big media companies over the years. They have a library of recordings, of videos and films and audio. And we have our own library of resurrection, and we're glad to be sharing that with our audience as we do. We call them classics.
Yeah, it's a growing list.
Yeah, and every year we have some of those classics are done with Pastor Jay Gallimore.
Yes, they are.
And we'll be talking about that more in the next hour, but the ones that I think many of our listeners like is the 8 days that changed the world. It's kind of a countdown. What happened, as we understand it, during the Passion Week, which began with, which is thought of as Palm Sunday in many circles, and going through the resurrection on Resurrection Sunday. Well, John, you're the editor, and we kind of together help select the themes. It's a collaborative effort, and I appreciate you still including me in that. Would you mind kind of introducing Pastor Jay and our subject today?
Well, certainly. Of the subject, this is the last of a series we've been doing since basically Christmas. Obviously, everyone knows the Christmas story, but from there on, we wanted to kind of delve into Christ's life in each aspect of it, his early life, his personal ministry, his one-on-one ministry, if you will, and his public ministry, and this is the culmination of that at the death and resurrection. So that's what this particular article is about. And Pastor Jay Gallimore is online with us, and he's going to, I'm not sure what to call it. It's not necessarily a translation, but he can certainly add more to it than you and I believe, can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate. I want to thank you, John. We traditionally do the December, the incarnation of Christ, and we do the April or March, whatever month it falls into, with the resurrection. But it's almost like we walk away from that topic in the months in between.
Yeah, we do.
And I just really like that when you said that idea, was why don't we connect it in between with the whole life and never really leave an inspection, a review, a thoughtful period of looking at Christ's life, and I think it's a great experience. I'm glad we did it.
It's been interesting, certainly.
Well, Pastor Jay, We've talked about the resurrection, and there's several programs over this during the resurrection week, the week of the Passion, that we'll be covering, and you've been a part of those, so this is familiar territory for you.
That's a wonderful subject, so wonderful.
Would you mind kind of outlining this article, which is the lead cover article of the April Strong Tower Radio Ministry News?
Yes, and I hope people will read the article. It's by Pastor Grady Yannis, and it's called The Power of the Resurrection. Now, he makes a very interesting point here in the first paragraph, and he basically says, talking about the ministry of Jesus, that the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, that he says, of course, is all focused on, but arguably, he says, one of the most paramount is his resurrection. Now, I just want to go back and just say, I think that's a good statement. All four of these, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, that you've been focusing on since Christmas, as it were, all of this hangs together. If you take one piece out of this, everything falls apart. But the resurrection is the capstone. The resurrection is the final blessing and grace of God on the world, and affirmation of the life and of Christ and his death on Calvary's cross. Many times people talk about the death of Christ, but they don't often connect it with the resurrection. But over and over in the New Testament, we have the apostles connecting the death of Christ with his resurrection. I like what the book of Romans says, the apostle Paul, in chapter 4, it's the last verse there. And it simply says that Christ was delivered up, crucified because of our transgressions. So in other words, Christ was crucified because of our sins. And I say to people, you know, I love that old song that says, Jesus paid it all. But then I kind of get people's attention a little bit, and they look at me wondering where I came from and what I'm going to say next or why I said what I said. But the fact that Jesus died on Calvary's cross alone isn't enough. And the reason I can say that is because of Scripture, because the Apostle Paul finishes that statement saying, after he says he was delivered up or crucified for our transgressions, our sins, our transgression of the law of God, then he says, and he was raised or resurrected for our justification. Now, people might ask why. And the reason for that is, and I think this is why Pastor Yannis is making a real focus on the power of the resurrection, is because nothing else, the death of Christ, it was enough. It paid for all of our sins. And I want to say hallelujah. Paid for my sins. Paid for the two of your sins and everybody in the whole world.
Amen.
Paid for their, yeah, amen. Paid for their sins. And, but all of that is nothing without the living Christ. And it's this resurrected living Christ who's our heavenly high priest in the heavenly sanctuary that makes all the power of his birth and his life and his death available to all of us. And so I appreciate the author focusing on the fact of the power of the resurrection.
He also indicated that as it's scriptural here in Corinthians 15:20-22, as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Refresh the memories of our listeners of the importance of Adam and Christ and us. What is the relationship there?
Yes, and the future. Thank you, Tom. Let me just simply say that when God created, according to Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the earth and he put Adam and Eve. Adam was to give leadership to the whole world. If you go back to the book of Job, you'll find the first chapter that the sons of God all gathered there. And then Satan came in and God kind of challenged why he was there. And he says, because I've been walking up and down on the earth. That's an administrative statement. He'd been administering the earth. Well, why would Satan think he had the right to come in with the sons of God? If you go to the New Testament, you'll find that when we do the genealogy of Jesus, and I think it's Matthew that does that, that he takes the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam and then calls Adam a son of God. Now, he's a created son, unlike Jesus, who is uncreated. Jesus has always been, always will be. But so when you go back then to Genesis, and when Satan takes Eve and then uses Eve as his agent to take down Adam, then he conquers the world. And Satan then says, Adam serves me, and therefore I am now the representative of the world. Well, that plunged the whole world into great trouble and great chaos, and we've all experienced that. But there's something else good here, because Jesus now, the book of Revelation says, he was slain before the foundations of the earth. Doesn't mean he was actually slain there, but as though he were. So it took the death and resurrection of Jesus and applied it from the start of the fall of mankind in the book of Genesis. And so Satan now usurps Adam's place, and now the earth needs a second Adam, somebody that can take on Satan and overthrow him, conquer where Adam failed. And that's why Jesus is often called the second Adam, or in some places better called the last Adam. He's the only chance we have. And so you need to have several things in place in order to do this. One of those things is that you have to be human to be an Adam, a second Adam. Well, Jesus became human when he became a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Of course, you talked about that at Christmas time. But he also needed something else. He had to be the creator of the earth and of Adam, the first Adam. And so we go back, and who created Adam? Well, it was the Savior, because the book of Colossians says that by him and through him, all things were created. So Jesus is the creator. He created Adam, so he's worth more than all of us put together. And so he can qualify on that count. And then when he becomes a baby in Bethlehem's manger, he can qualify as the last Adam. Now, the Lord Jesus beats Satan and his temptations. I often say, with both hands behind his back, we have the wilderness temptation where he overcame appetite. He overcame the love of display. And then he rejected Satan's appeal to worship him in exchange for him giving him everything else that he would gain by going through Calvary's cross and all the pain and the suffering. But I like what one person said, I think with G. Campbell Morgan in his book, The Crisis of Christ. He said something to the effect that Jesus' response to that last temptation was, I will not serve you. In fact, I will get the earth. But I'll not get it by serving you, but I'll get it by your eviction. So Jesus evicted Satan, and when he did, when he came to life again after Calvary's cross, he now is the great representative of planet Earth. And according to Revelation chapter 12, Satan is cast down to the earth in a special way, and he has no more power to go to heaven and represent us. So the good news is, this is part of the power of the resurrection, that Jesus now represents planet Earth in the heavenly councils. And even more, he's our heavenly high priest, and we can go directly to him for everything we need, from the forgiveness of our sins to the daily needs that we have. And one final thing, well, there's lots to talk about here, but we also have in this living Christ the hope of the resurrection.
Absolutely. One of the things that this article talks about is the legitimacy of Christ. This account, did it really happen? And I know that there is a plethora of evidence to that effect, but would you mind sharing that with our listeners just to kind of refresh their memories?
Yes, I'll be glad to. The article uses 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul gives an account there of how many saw him after his resurrection. Now, I heard it not long ago. Somebody just was laughing and saying, oh, the New Testament is a bunch of fairy tales. Nothing could be further from the truth. And let me say to our listeners, if you believe in ancient history that you were taught, if you believe that Julius Caesar lived in the great empire of Rome, for instance, and a lot of other people, that we know about from history. How do we know that? Well, we know it from ancient manuscripts. We do not have the original manuscripts. We have those manuscripts that are copies of copies of copies with hundreds and even more than thousands of years in between. Let me just give you just a quick example of some of that. Here is Herodias and the history of Herodias. He lived about 900 AD. That was, and the manuscript that we have today, the copy, is 1,300 years later. That's the earliest copy we have. And we only have eight of those, just eight. Here's Aristotle. I'm not going to give everybody here, but here's Aristotle. And we have five copies of manuscripts. And this copy is 1,400 years removed from the original. Here's Caesar. How about Caesar? We all know about Caesar. Well, he lived back there before the fall of Rome, of course, or I should say before the birth of Christ. And we have 10 copies of Caesar. In fact, he actually wrote some history. But there's 1,000 years between the original and the copies that we have today. Here's another one on Greek history, Tacitus. Again, we have the copy we have is 1,000 years removed from the original. We only have 20 copies of that. Now, I just keep going down that, but I'm going to skip down and tell you a little bit about the amount of manuscripts that we have for the New Testament. Here we go. It's amazing. We have 5,300 Greek manuscripts. That's despite the terrible persecution by the Roman Diocletian, where they went after the Christian churches and the elders that oversaw those churches and the manuscripts. But thank God we have those manuscripts. We have 10,000 Latin manuscripts. We have 9,300 others. In other words, we have 24,000 ancient manuscripts, and they were to affirm the New Testament. Now, let me just give you this. This is amazing. And you heard me say how much was all that time between the originals and the manuscripts that we now have that we base our ancient history on. But for the New Testament, we have some manuscripts that were actually pieces of manuscripts that were actually from the lifetime of the apostles. Many others were like first century our second century, third century, fourth century. We just have lots of manuscripts that come from that time period, very, very close to the time of the apostles and the time of Christ. There's no time for legends or anything else. And that's why people who study ancient manuscripts and the authenticity of ancient manuscripts will tell you, even though they may not be Christians, many of them are, and there have been people that have made the study who went out to say Christianity is just bogus. And they went and looked at this evidence and they gave their heart to Christ and became Christians. But they will tell you that nothing in ancient history is so supported as the New Testament. They say it's just amazing what we have. And it said it cannot be too strongly asserted that in substance, the text of the Bible is certain, especially is this the case with the New Testament. And we can make the same argument for the Old Testament. But we're talking about the New Testament because that's usually where the doubts come in. One person, F.F. Bruce, said, "The evidence of our New Testament writings is ever so much greater than the evidence for many writings of classical authors, the authenticity of which no one dreams of questioning. And if the New Testament were a collection of secular writings, their authenticity would generally be regarded as beyond all doubt." And so as I saw one signboard here in Michigan, it says, "Beyond a reasonable doubt." That's the same thing where you convict somebody of a criminal conviction. You do it beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt, Jesus is alive. He came to life. And even these secular scholars will tell you he was resurrected. We can't tell you how it happened, and we can't explain it, but he is alive, and he was resurrected, and the account is accurate. Now, once you establish that, it's very fascinating to go and to look at the New Testament and the evidences that they give, and there's so much evidence there, so fascinating, the whole story of the resurrection. And of course, the author of the article, he talks about some of that.
Pastor Jay, what about the power of the resurrection? I think he did a wonderful job. It's like the last third of the article talking about the freedom from the law of sin and of death, that it's not only to be raised looking at life after death, but the freedom from the control of sin. I thought he did a fine job of covering that.
He did, and the readers will want to read that when they get it. Let me just simply say that in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and chapter 8, we have something very fascinating that goes on. Paul talks about the Ten Commandments, actually quotes from the Ten Commandments. I don't have time to get into all of that. He actually quotes from the Ten Commandments, and then he talks about two laws in chapter 7. He talks about the law of commandments, and he talks about the law of sin and death. And he talks about how those two things are in the heart of every human being. In other words, the law of commandments, God's Ten Commandments, which are based on love to God and love to our fellow man, which would make all the Ten Commandments become a reality because they're all based on those two great principles, and the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is selfishness. And of course, if you're selfish, you just think about yourself and you don't care about other people. And that's where we get all the killing and the horrors that we see in this world of ours, and the wars and the decay and the death and destruction. Those two things fight. And the law of commandments, the law of the Ten Commandments, the law of love to God supremely and love to my neighbor, they fight against the law of sin and death in our hearts. But not one of them can, in other words, the law of commandments, which is good, the great principle of love to God and to our fellow man, it cannot overcome the law of sin and death. And so in the first few verses of chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and our author brings that out here so nicely, we have the introduction of what I call the third law. And that third law is the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So this resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says, brought Christ to life again. And it's a very powerful picture I don't have time to get into. But that very same Holy Spirit now, because of the living Christ, the Holy Spirit brings the living Christ into my heart. When now by faith, I give my life to Christ, I'm born again. The Spirit of Christ comes into my heart, and through the mighty power of this resurrected Christ, I overcome the law of sin and death. And according to Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it gives me the object of the gospel, the reason the gospel exists, and that gospel exists to bring us back into harmony with the Ten Commandments. So it says, so that the righteous requirements of the law, Romans 8, 28, verse 4, the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. So the beauty of the resurrection of Christ is that this living Christ, by means of the Holy Spirit, comes into my heart. He gives me power over the law of sin and death, all of the selfishness. And then he brings me back into the sweet harmony of supreme love to God, love to my fellow man, and back into the harmony of the beauty of the Ten Commandments, which the book of James calls the great law of liberty.
A power to live righteously.
Yes.
Wonderful.
That power to live. And many people, you know, I was just talking to somebody this past week, and we were talking about the book of Galatians, but many of our dear friends, and I love my dear Christian friends, evangelicals, Roman Catholics, Protestants, we love them all. But so many in the Christian world lose this thing that, oh, I'm justified. I've been saved by the power of Christ. Yes, hallelujah. But what have you been saved for? You have been saved to live a righteous, Christ-like life that's in harmony with the Ten Commandments. And it's only by the power of Christ that that can happen. Now, I love the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, where he says, he gives a great picture of the gospel, that we're saved freely by the grace of God. Hallelujah, we're saved by faith. He does a beautiful job of that. And then he ends that chapter simply saying, do we make void the law of God? And then he says, God forbid, or absolutely not, or certainly not. And then he says, yea, we establish the law. The law of God can only be established in our lives and hearts by the power of the resurrected Christ. And it's only by putting our faith in him, we put our faith in him, we get this wonderful, powerful Jesus comes into our life and changes us, makes us new creatures. We do a 180-degree turn, and we live a life of peace and joy. Yes, there's struggles against temptation, but we have a mighty Savior who stands there. And if we fall on those temptations, and we shouldn't by the grace of God, but if we do, he picks us up, dusts us off, encourages us, empowers us to keep going. And then on the morning of the resurrection, he will resurrect us or translate us when Jesus comes again.
Now that's the power of the resurrection. Thank you so much, Pastor Jay. And we want to also thank Pastor Grady Yonas for this article. John, I just want to thank you for your leadership in this newsletter.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, listeners, we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Strong Tower Radio and the program Strong Tower Radio Today. We're talking about the April theme. We'll be right back.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Well, folks, if you've been holding your breath waiting for us to come back, you can breathe again.
I'm so glad. That was a long breath because our break is longer in the studio than it is at home.
You were almost getting bluer than your shirt, Tom.
That's right. I am blowing the blue shirt today. Hey, John, I'm so glad to be back. This is our April theme on Strong Tower Radio Today. We get to look forward at what's coming up, what we do know, and you know it's always a moving target.
Well, absolutely. God has so many things in store for us that we know not. So it's always a surprise.
Absolutely. Hey, John, you are the newsletter editor, the Strong Tower Radio Ministry News that can be accessed if you are on the mailing list, and you'll want to be on that mailing list. But if you are not, you can go to our website. The quickest, easiest way is str.fm, because most of our stations are FM or strongtowerradio.org, and download it. But John, give them a kind of a tantalizing taste or aroma over the radio what Changed Lives is all about in this April issue.
Well, the reason we can only give you just a little taste is because this month's Changing Lives is a two-parter, so you only get a small portion of the whole story.
And it's kind of telling the whole story over 2 months' period of time.
Yes, and this is really going to be interesting to those people from the 93.1 FM WMPA broadcast area near Grand Haven. Since we attempted to purchase that station back in May of 2022, we just couldn't quite get all the money together.
Always before, the Lord has provided ahead of the time, and it just fell into place. But this was a little different.
Yeah, we did what we could. We prayed a lot, but it just seemed like God wasn't ready for us to purchase it outright. And we have learned quite a bit since then. We still don't know everything, but we've learned quite a bit. And this is the story.
And God's way is always the best way.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't have all the funds, as I mentioned, but kind of suddenly the seller decided to give us a lease to purchase.
And that gave new life to the possibility of the station in Grand Haven.
And we are still using his commercial license because of that until we do make the purchase. But that's not typically what you would find a savvy business person doing. Most of them want the whole deal. Let me walk off with the cash. But God certainly has moved on our seller. And we certainly appreciate that and praise God for that.
And a few other things happened where it was probably to the advantage of the ministry to have it happen this way rather than the way we would have preferred.
Absolutely. Not long after we began broadcasting, the city of Grand Haven contacted the seller because both his station and our station are on the same tower, and it happens to be a Grand Haven city-owned tower, and they wanted the format of the 93.1 station to go back to what it had been.
Which was music and sports.
Music and sports, yes. So they started leaning on the seller. And at one point, they got to the point saying that if he didn't comply, they were just going to shut the power off to the tower and neither one of us would be up. And that is ultimately what happened. The seller came to us and said, you know, this isn't right. This isn't the way things should work. We have contractual signage that says, you know, we have the right. So he started looking for a new tower. And if anybody has ever dealt with the FCC, you know that there is no quick moving that organization. However, when he applied to be able to move the two stations to a tower he had found that was inland about 5 miles from the original, in less than 3 weeks, the FCC approved that. And that just doesn't happen. And when we had to order additional parts so that we could connect everything up, they came in within just a short matter of time when everywhere people are running into situations where the supply chain just isn't delivering.
Right.
Again, something that just isn't happening right now. And the seller is a little confused, maybe. He's not sure why all this is happening. And we just keep telling him we've been praying about this, and certainly this is God's answer to the situation. So that's where we are today as far as the story goes. We're blessed with a quick decision by the FCC to be able to move our two stations, or the two stations, to the tower, and we will continue the story next month.
That's right. Well, John, thank you for leaving us at a cliffhanger. And the next article is the current events column, and it's the one I enjoy because, oh, I guess I write it, but what can I say, John? it's kind of what's happening on the air and in the community. So the topics I talked about is the Big Four. You know, there's an old saying, John, a wedding little rhyme that goes, something old and something new, something borrowed and something blue. Yes. Well, the Big Four, which is the Resurrection, the Reformation, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, is a beautiful blend of something old and something new. I don't know where the blue comes in, John, but maybe it's my shirt today. I don't know, but
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Okay.
I know with the wedding thing, the blue is usually the father of the bride's face because
the cost that it costs him. Yes. Well, I think it has to do with fidelity and the longevity of the commitment to the relationship. But what's interesting is that we have these classics. With, for instance, the Variety Hour. We're up to 6 variety hours that have a resurrection theme. And we brought a new one on, which is the Ionia one. So It's classics that we've enjoyed, and plus the new ones that keep coming on. We debuted another new one, is Norman Mull. He had written a sermon, and then they did it into a voice play, audio play, of a Pharisee's perspective on Jesus. And you might think of it, it might have been Nicodemus or something like that, looking at, seeing all the changes, and eventually, I believe he becomes a believer in Christ. It's putting together some possibilities, but it's another perspective to look at the resurrection. The Wilson Seventh-day Adventist Church puts on a passion play. Strong Tower Radio worked with that congregation, and you, John, you went up there and recorded it We put some narrative. It's something they do. And it became something that we brought to the radio for our listeners. And so this will be the second year of airing that. And then a fresh manna. We have almost 3-4 weeks of fresh manna sermons that we've collected. And it's in our vault, in our digital vault here. And Pastor Jay, as we heard him last half hour, about the 8 days that changed the world, he and Jelaine and I looked at every day. It's kind of neat to hear that during the Passion Week, which is between, was thought to be as Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. And what happened on that day, it just really brings it to life. And it's a classic we enjoy playing every year. It's like 8 days that changed the world. Plus, we added 3 more because Pastor Jay said, hey, there's more that happened after the resurrection, meeting with the disciples on the way to Emmaus and other things where Christ came and showed himself. So it's really 11 days. And a special sermon that will be debut on Easter or Resurrection Sunday, Pastor Jay did exclusively for this year. So much there, plus the audio play of the Footprints of Jesus, the dramatization of Christ's death and resurrection, all happening on Strong Tower Radio during that Resurrection Week.
It's going to be a passion-filled month.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the feedback, you know, we're in radio, you're always looking for feedback. It's a, kind of a one-way medium until our listeners talk back to us. And some of the programs we've been producing, we've been sharing with you about, talking about the Blueprint for Men. It was a podcast that we became aware of. We said, you know, if you tweak it a little bit, you can make that into a radio program, and it debuted on Strong Tower Radio. I'm pleased to say that there are other radio networks that are looking at it and may offering that. So, but Joy, one of our staff members, some of the feedback, we review many of the programs that come to us before. We don't want any surprises. Yes. We want to have a good programming for our listeners. And this is a quote from Joy. Everyone, she's a female, of course, is everyone needs to hear this program, not just for men. It is so well produced with a powerful message, and we're just so pleased about that. Another program that we introduced in February was Relationship CPR with Ron Price, and it's also being well received, and it will become even more popular. John, I just happened to be in the greater Chattanooga area where It Is Written, a television worldwide television ministry is located at, and Ron Price, this very same one who's producing this program initially for Strong Tower Radio, was having an interview with Pastor John Bradshaw on his Conversations program, and I think that our listeners will be anxious to hear the rest of the story on Conversations that should be coming out in the next 2 months or less. And then he was also invited to go on to 3ABN, which we're an affiliate of, mm-hmm. and that'll be broadcast worldwide, but also be rebroadcast on the audio portion on Strong Tower Radio and the 3ABN network.
And I heard tell that he may find his way up to this area.
Absolutely. You know, that's really exciting. We were talking about Blueprint for Men earlier. Mm-hmm. Marty Miller, the founder of that, actually came and visited our studios, and it was fun to bring him around. Well, Ron Price is going to be doing a tour in September, and churches and schools and organizations, even businesses. The books that he wrote were Play Nice in Your Sandbox, and it's how relationships, he calls play nice, play is how do you prevent conflicts. He says, conflicts are inevitable. Having broken relationships is optional. So we don't have to break relationships when we have conflicts. We want to avoid them. We want to mitigate them. But when we have them, if we have them, we either can avoid them, prevent them. But when you do have them, how do you fix them? How do you get along? And this works for say, works, but in the business place, in the relationships, public, as well as in the home, and also in your congregation. So churches will want to have him. Hey, we all have problems. How can we collectively be on the same page, invite Ron to the program and to your church and talk about it? It might become new talking points on how to solve problems.
So lessons for life then.
Lessons for life, and you can contact him at Ron. It's really easy. Ron@ronprice.com. So you can contact him and try to schedule something. We know that the Cadillac Seventh-day Adventist Church will be having him for the weekend, Friday night, September 22nd and 23rd for the worship service, and then also an afternoon session, three sessions on this topic. But other churches and organizations, maybe even the Chamber of Commerce of your community, schools for their PTA or their home and school organization, it's going to be a great opportunity to do it when Ron is in town. The other productions that we're working on is Strong Tower Radio Today, which we're broadcasting here. We're doing the April theme, but we have one each and every week, and it's keeping us quite busy. We did a recording recently, a refresher course for yours truly, where I don't know if this is distracted driving or not, John, but I was interviewing him as I was driving down the road. I hope I don't get a ticket for doing that.
I don't mean to sound mean, Tom, but Okay. Yes, for you, that's distracted driving.
So anyway, we were talking. It was just kind of interesting. You're going to experience parallel parking the right way. You know, have you forgot?
On the radio?
On the radio. Yeah, why not? I mean, what?
It's parallel parking the right way.
That's right.
On the radio.
That's right. Well, John, think about this. You just get your car, you go down to find a place to parallel park, and you follow the instructions. He'll explain exactly how. And it makes it easy. I mean, you realize how many people try to avoid parallel parking? They go around the block to avoid the parallel spot.
They've gone so far as to make cars be able to park themselves.
That's right.
So that's how far people go to get away from doing it.
That's right. So anyway, that was so much fun. We're going to be going. Many of you have heard about the Holland Tulip Festival. They call it Tulip Time now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the things they have is those people who do the wooden shoe choreographed clogging or clumping dancers. Well, we're going to, Strong Tower Radio is going to go to the rehearsal, and we're going to record them doing that, and we're going to learn about the Holland Tool Festival that will be going on this year. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Just also, we're continuing our tour with the Adventist Community Service Centers. Mm-hmm. That has been beneficial for them. It has been beneficial for everybody else here. We've actually had people come together in different centers, started talking. I said, did you know they're doing this? Oh, really? And there has been a great connection there. And that's what we're here, is to be community service and bring people together.
Hey, praise the Lord.
And Dr. Atkins is going to continue his programs. And we have biologists coming from the DNR, Department of Natural Resources from Michigan. We're going to talk about bats. Now, is that one of your favorite subjects, John?
Well, acrobats, maybe.
Oh, acrobats. Well, these are real bats, you know. And we're going to talk about bats, and we're also going to talk about an endangered species that has a habitat here in Michigan. It's called the Carner's blue butterfly. So you're going to learn more, not than you ever wanted to know, but you'll learn more than you ever known before about.
Well, I've already learned something. I didn't know they existed.
So. That's right. and then the Variety Hour, the second of the year, took place in Grand Rapids in March, and we have four more to go, and you should look forward to that. Lord willing, we'll be on the radio on our Strong Tower Radio Variety Hour on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock and Sabbath afternoon at 5 o'clock. And if you have any announcements, there's many churches have events and such that could be broadcast and could maybe bless more people if they submitted them to Strong Tower Radio, and you can put that on our website. You can just upload that. So just so many things going on here at Strong Tower Radio. And while we're thinking about that, let me share some of the things that we are looking forward to. Women's Retreat and Mother-Daughter Weekend. We'll be doing an interview. Scott Michael Bennett, he's a favorite of many of our listeners. He had a very difficult, terrible accident and a miracle story where he's agreed to an interview. We're also looking at, we talked about with Dr. Atkins, doing shorebirds and early migration of songbirds, wildfire protection, and we talked about the Tulip Festival and the Driver's Ed. Hey, John, you've got another article to talk about here. Wanted, Dead, Yet Alive.
Yeah, this one, I'm not going to do a good job summarizing because it's full of information. So you're really going to do yourself a favor by reading it.
You have to think and concentrate on this.
Yes, there's a lot of thought in this one. And this is written by Cam. It's our April appeal. And the basic premise is that God wants to take sinners who've committed crimes against him and convert them into saints who are dead yet alive.
That seems like an oxymoron.
Yes, it does. He goes on to say that beyond martyrdom, as the title kind of lists, Jesus' word involve how we live, not just when faith believers breathe their last. Around Matthew 16:25, if any will be my disciple, let him or her, and I'm adding that, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Obviously, dead people can't think or have feelings. They can't carry crosses, and they don't follow Jesus. So what does that mean? It means that God has a plan for us, and there's a lot more living than there is dying in this case. It goes on in verse 26 to say, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Yeah, there's a question there. There's that thinking part we talked about. So by surrendering self and following Jesus' life example, we can be led to eternal life, and we can share that, the thought process and the information we get from God, with others, and hopefully share everlasting life with them. And we become dead to self, but alive to Christ. And there's the thought process. So do, folks, do go get and read this appeal. I did not do it justice.
And you can get that off of our website at strongtowerradio.org or str.fm. And, you know, Strong Tower Radio comes to you. Not only comes to you on the radio, but also comes to you in person in locations that are within driving distance.
Hopefully.
Of many of you, depends on where, what part of our widespread from the western UP all the way down to Kalamazoo and Lansing and Grand Rapids, over across the state. And, well, there's our Cam is going to be in Manton, that's kind of in northwestern Michigan, speaking on April 15th, and that is not tax day. I understand it's on the 18th. And he'll also be in the greater Grand Rapids area on April 22nd at the Lowell Riverside Church. I was looking forward and thinking about that. What a wonderful congregation the Lowell Riverside Church is, as well as the Manton Church. It's kind of fun to visit various congregations and see how the Lord's leading in those congregations.
Yeah, it is one of the things that we do when we visit to do variety hour programs. We get to meet people from all over the state and find churches that I didn't know existed and the towns that I don't know exist, or at least from my point of view.
Absolutely. I had that opportunity. I took two speaking arrangements down in southwestern Michigan, and they don't have a radio signal, but they are many faithful listeners on the apps and on the computers. And that was a real blessing to see those congregations. I was over in the Warren Church, and we've got some strong supporters over there, yet to have a signal. Also, I was in the Troy Church just about 2 weeks ago, and they print the Strong Tower Radio Bulletin announcements in their bulletin, even though they don't have a radio station.
Praise the Lord.
And that just shows that, you know, I'm trying to think of the situation in the Bible where somebody was looking forward, they planned for it, they're expecting it to come, and they're expecting a radio station in Southeast Michigan.
We keep praying for one.
Absolutely. Well, John, I just want to thank you again for your work with the Strong Tower Radio Ministry News, printing that every single month.
It's always a lot of fun. I can't say that I'm a fan of the deadlines, but I enjoy working on the newsletter.
Been there, done that, John.
I know.
And that's trying to get other people with the deadlines. But it's fun to see when it all comes together and they're folding it and it gets put into the box, ready to take down to the post office and to be sent out to you and arriving within, you know, about 5 days to the various households who are on our mailing list. And so, listeners, we just want to thank you for your prayers and financial support that keeps this radio going, because you're paying it forward to somebody else. You've been blessed, and you want somebody else to have likewise the same blessing.
And we hear about these blessings all the time.
Absolutely. In fact, Cam was at a speaking engagement, I believe it was in Grand Rapids, and a listener comes up and talks to him of how the Strong Tower Radio has been a blessing to him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, that kind of wraps us up for the April theme. Next week, we'll have the Garden Guy. It almost always follows the theme of the month with Gary Heilig and my sister Sue Majeur and yours truly, Tom Majeur. Well, until next time, we wish you God's blessing upon your life. Stay faithful. God bless. Bye now.
To experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child?